And of course, open lines for you. Let's go back to Carl in Greenville, South Carolina. He was in his canoe, and all of a sudden, he sees this big old, what was it, Carl?
Yes, how you doing? And George, I really enjoy. I've been a long time listener.
Thank you.
No, my intention on the trip was to take from Little Rock, Arkansas, literally, all the way to the Gulf. I was going to go all the way to the ocean.
How long is that trip for you?
That was going to take me about 3 months.
Long time.
And like I said, that was my intention. So I get to this bottleneck in the river, and so I get out. I realize I can't pass. You know, I can't get through it. So I get out of my canoe, and as soon as I get out of my canoe, I start to walk around the bottleneck, around the trees that were all in the river. Suddenly, this big circle opens up. Now, I'm not drinking. I don't do drugs. And there were people walking out of it. And they were walking past me. And they were saying things to me, but I couldn't quite comprehend what it was they were saying. And as they passed me, I remember looking over my right shoulder, and they became little tiny dots.
The people.
Like little sparks.
Huh.
And they were flying off. Okay, now that's weird enough.
Now, let me ask you, though, did this circle look like a spaceship, or did it look like a tunneler of some type?
It looked like a stained glass, sort of.
Okay.
The whole circle did. I passed out. 6 hours later, I wake up. Now, there were about, I'd say, 12, 15 people walked through it. I passed out. I wake up 6 hours later, and, in fact, I've got a pretty nice scar on my head from hitting a tree. I wake up and I'm like, what in the world just happened? So I'm like, okay, well, I'm going to have to camp here tonight. And so I camp, you know, set up camp.
Yeah.
And I stay there. For the next two nights, I keep hearing that. First, I thought I went down, I was on going on down the river the next day. I unloaded the canoe, went around the bottleneck, reloaded the canoe, and down the river I went. The next night, I hear this song, and it was an old Negro spiritual. I could hear it clear as a bell, and I thought, oh man, I must be somewhere near a church.
Yeah, I would think that.
And
yeah.
And so I hear it, and it kept saying, "Come in out of the rain." That was part of the words of it. I'd never heard it before. It was a very, very old song, and so I'm like, am I going crazy? I said, there's, you know, no church. I'm out here in the middle of nowhere. And there's nothing nowhere near me. And I get on down the next night, same thing. I hear it. And it's telling me to get in out of the rain. George, I had to be saved. I had to have a helicopter, an airplane, and the river saviors come get me. I woke up at 2 o'clock in the morning underwater. There was a major flood.
Oh my God.
I barely made it to dry ground.
Ugh.
And I was standing on a little island in the middle of what was a probably 20, 30 foot wide river that became 150 yards wide.
Do you think these voices, these entities saved you?
This song was apparently telling me that I was in trouble. And that what was so strange is that, like I say, I wasn't drinking. I don't do drugs. But that these people were walking out in front of me. And they were like literally walking through me. I've seen some weird things in my life. That is the strangest thing that has ever happened to me.
That is different. I'll tell you that. And welcome back to Coast. Lots of emails on the CT scan that I got. And everybody's saying that the iodine that I got injected that brightens you up was not and is not radioactive. So that's not what caused the burning. It may have been the iodine, but it's not. It was not a radioactive material that they injected into me. Some CT scans they do that, but not this one. So I'm ruling that out. Let's go to London, England. John's with us a long way. John, thanks for calling, sir.
George, hi.
I'm fine, John. I hope you are too.
I certainly am. Yes. Are you aware of what I'm calling about?
I have no idea what you're calling about.
Ah, well, I told your cool screener that I reversed the speech that JFK and Jackie made on the night before the assassination.
Okay.
And I've got the transcript here, and it's very interesting if you'd like to hear it.
What did they say?
Well, JFK is introducing Jackie. And he says in reverse, before we seal this with farewell, tie a knot in it, help me bid farewell, set veil on it, here's the lady I fear most. And then he hands over to Jackie, and she says, deep, I've helped the Illuminati with murdering, and I say it, I threaten I'll kill you.
Jeez.
And then I'm convinced she's actually the one that shoots JFK in Dealey Plaza the next day.
I did not see that. Now, John, when you did this, you have it on tape, the reversal?
Oh, yeah, I've got an article about it. The article is called CIA Agent Jackie Killed JFK, because I've also got the letters in which Jackie admits being a CIA agent.
Do you do a reverse speech?
Yeah, well, I've listened to David Oates for a few years.
Yeah, he does a lot of it.
I've tried it myself.
How do I get a copy of this? Can you MP3 it to me?
Well, you just search for the title of the article, it's all included in the article. So the article's called CIA Agent Jackie JFK.
I will do that. I'd love to hear that. That's a interesting twist. You know, one part of the theory I heard about that was that Aristotle Onassis, who always wanted to date her, might have been involved in it. But that, you know, fell on deaf ears. It didn't go anywhere. And then, of course, we've heard the LBJ theory and everything. I am convinced this was a conspiracy. There were many people involved in this. It wasn't just Lee Harvey Oswald, who, as he said, was a patsy. You know, he was told to be there. I don't think he expected this to happen. A story that we may never absolutely get the bottom line. Never. Files are still sealed, by the way. John, thank you. We'll check that out. Good for you. Good work, if that's the case. Mike is in Cleveland on the wild card line. Hello, Mike. Welcome to the program. Good to have you with us.
Good evening, George.
Hey, Michael.
Thanks for taking my call, sir.
Sure.
I wondered if I could just share a quick Roses Are Red poem with you this evening, sir.
A Roses Are Red. All right, we'll give it a chance.
I appreciate that. Thanks for trusting me.
Okay.
Okay. Roses are pretty when they're red. Violets are lovely and blue. Here's to sweet 16 and all the feelings that smell new. May your awareness flower in the early morning dew, because in the end, the flower will be a spirited young goddess, and she will be joyful and true as the goddess reading this, and that would be little old you, Alexis. Happy birthday, and may the force be with you, young Jedi princess, and you too, George Nori, and Koste Yum. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Happy Valentine's Day to you. So you wrote a little poem for somebody he cares about. I, of course, sent flowers out to those because I was working, didn't have an opportunity to go out or do anything like that. But Valentine's Day is huge. You should have seen the traffic in Los Angeles, people going to restaurants and things like that. Absolutely huge. Danny, what did you get your wife for Valentine's Day? Anything? Roses, too. He did the same thing. You can't go wrong with roses, that's for sure. Let's go next to Paul in the state of Washington, west of the Rockies. Hey, Paul, thanks for calling.
Oh, thank you, George. George Noy for president.
You know, I thought about that years ago, but I decided not to.
Well, you're like Gordon Cooper. You're a straight shooter, George.
Well, I do try.
But I wanted to ask you, well, you know, on the show within the last week, the gentleman who showed the spaceship docking up to the International Space Station out there, and the Earth was rotating behind that. Now, to me, that looked like a ship. And so, but my real question is this. So I believe they're out there. All these military people who say they had encounters, why would you think, George, that these beings, knowing if they're so advanced, how corrupt our governments are, they would be working with our governments and not wanting us to know and suppressing that information?
Great question. See, I don't think they're working with our governments. I think they're doing this on their own. I don't think government has any ability to do anything with them. What do you think of that?
Yeah, I mean, you got me, you know, so I think about it over and over. I'm watching it now. I see what the Russians have said. The first two things that they learn is their nuclear, when the president comes in Russia, the nuclear and the UFO status of the extraterrestrials. But here they just hush it up.
Yeah, no, they sure do. I do not think ETs, and I believe that we've been visited. I believe we're continuing to be visited. I don't think they're working with governments at all. Tim, our webmaster tonight, sent me that link to CIA agent Jackie, and I'm taking a look at it. Probably after the show, I'm going to try to listen to some of the reverse speech stuff. He's done a very thorough job. His name's John Kimber. He's done a lot of research on that, too. So, John, thanks for sending that to us. Strange theory, I'll tell you that, but you've done a pretty good job of piecing some things together. Just continues to add to that puzzle, doesn't it? On the international line in Vancouver Island, Canada, we have Chris. And now he's on Coast to Coast. Chris, go ahead.
Hello, George.
Hi.
It is a real privilege and an honor to be able to talk to you for the first time.
Thank you.
I really enjoyed listening to your comments on the television series Ancient Aliens.
That's a great show. They did a super job with that.
It's awesome. I've seen every single episode.
Great.
In 2008, that's when I first started experiencing missing time. And before that, before 2008, I had sleep paralysis, which is very often referred to as extraterrestrial abduction.
Mm-hmm.
And in 2008, in Burnaby on the mainland, I was walking home at about 1:30 in the morning down a street with houses on both sides, a street that I've been down probably about 20 times. And all of a sudden, there was no houses anymore. And I was looking around. I had no idea where I was. And I reappeared back at the start of the street, and I had lost 45 minutes. It was like a 45-minute walk to get that far.
Oof,
and all I can remember thinking was, oh, no, now I got to walk all that way to get back home. And I was explaining to my friends about this. And, of course, nobody's going to believe you. They're going to think you're crazy saying something like that. And it was a couple days later that I was waiting at the bus stop, and I was staring at these huge street lights. And they're designed in such a way that they're like a triangular sort of a shape. And that's when a memory came back to me of a craft that had kind of, it was invisible, and it had kind of rippled and appeared right above me. And it really stuck in my mind. And it was a triangular shape, and it had circles on each corner of the triangle with a line, like a dark line through each small circle. And I drew this picture out, and I showed my roommate the picture that this memory came back to me after 2 days of this invisible triangular craft that appeared in front of me right during this missing time experience.
That's amazing. What do you think they did with you?
I don't know. I have theories. I don't know. But unbeknownst to me, I watched a show. And if you recall an incident in Belgium in 2005 in which there was mass UFO sightings of a triangular craft, there was a picture that this guy had drawn that looked identical to what I had drawn, and I had never seen that show before, so I knew for sure something, and I showed my friend that picture also, so I knew for sure something strange was going on. And I had explained to another friend of mine later on about this missing time, and of course he kind of looked at me with skeptical eyes. And one night, about 12:30, I guess, in the morning, we were walking downtown, and he stopped and he asked me, he said, "How did we get here?" There was a bypass, like an overpass, yeah, that you have to walk across. He stopped and said to me, "How did we get here?" And I didn't know, realize anything was going on. And he said, "I don't remember walking over the bridge." And I looked at him and I said, "Holy smokes, I don't either." And that was the first time somebody else with me actually experienced my missing time. And he had never experienced missing time before that experience.
It's a weird feeling.
I told him the stories that I had.
Does it still continue, Chris?
I haven't experienced it in a long time. And I haven't experienced any sleep paralysis in a long time. However, I was thinking about, like, what these are. Are these aliens, like in an extraterrestrials? Are these government craft? And I had a theory that, you know how a lot of alien abductees believe that these extraterrestrials are harvesting their DNA?
Yes.
And they think that this is the reason why they're coming to Earth. And then, of course, the skeptics say, well, why would they travel 100,000 light years, you know, to come here just to not show themselves and take our DNA and then disappear? And my theory is that these extraterrestrials may not actually be from another galaxy, but they may actually be us, like millions of years in the future.
You are absolutely right. They could be time travelers. They could be coming from a hollow Earth. They could be coming from other dimensions. They could be demonic. Or they could be coming from planetary systems. All of those possibilities are there. Various experts who've been on this program, from Jacques Vallée to Stanton Friedman, everybody has their own different theories, by the way. David Jacobs says, whatever they're doing, they're not doing it for our benefit. There's something wrong here. When you look at all the various aspects of it, I would like to believe that they're coming from another planetary system in our universe. To me, that's exciting. The other ones, you know, dimensional, possible, but that's like over your head, right? Demons, you don't want to think that's happening. I would love to believe that we are being visited from other living entities on planetary systems in our universe. To me, that's exciting. Hey, we're going to come back in a moment and take some final open line calls. Those of you on hold, just stay right with us. Those of you calling, we will get to you as well right here on Coast to Coast AM. If you need to email me, that's george@coasttocoastam.com. We shall be right back. And as we say, don't touch your dial. I'm going to see George Knapp tomorrow. He's going to be at the UFO Congress in Scottsdale, Arizona. And George, of course, will be back on Sunday. He's starting to feel much better. And then on Saturday, of course, Dave Schrader will be manning the desk for you, talking about, of course, some things about the energy experiments. And then later on in the program, he's got the folks from the TV's Dead Famous Psychic Kids on the show. And I'm looking forward to that, too. I'm going to come back in a moment, and we will take final phone calls here on Coast to Coast AM. Okay, welcome back to Coast, and, of course, your final calls. We go east to start. Matt in Indiana. Matt, thank you for holding so long.
Hey, Hey, no problem, George. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. How about you?
I'm doing fantastic. I'm a big fan. Like I said, if I could eat dinner with three different people, Abraham Lincoln, George Washington, and George Norrie.
Well, let me tell you, between the three of us, I wonder which one would buy.
Probably you.
Maybe so. Maybe so. What's going on?
No, John Zaffis is going to be on your show, or was on your show.
John has been on the show before, and will continue to be on the show.
So, do things manifest into items? Because I had talked to your
yes.
Okay, because I had an imaginary friend as a child, and it's manifested itself into a stuffed animal that I held on to as a child.
Okay.
And now we just kind of like keep him in the corner.
You still have the stuffed animal?
Oh yeah.
That's amazing. And do you think this entity is still attached to it?
Yes, because one night, now not to pull a plug, but before Ancestry.com,
mm-hmm.
I looked up the name, and my computer and TV and everything turned on. Everything shut off, and it was down for like a day.
Geez, so this thing has been with you since you were a kid.
Yeah, I'm 35 years old.
That's not unfortunate. That's great.
Well, my life's not been too fortunate. But anyway, I mean, not to get into other stories, but
well, we may want to hear those stories. No, I'm
kidding.
Tell you
what, I need to write a book about certain aspects, but George, I've listened to you for a long time, and everything you say is like appeals to me, and now you're doing things that appeal to my mind also, such as getting Gerald Celente and everyone else on.
Oh yeah, we'll keep doing that. But let me ask you about this bear entity. Who do you think it is? Somebody's passed on, but who might it be?
Well, that's the thing, is I know his full name is, should I say it on?
Well, what's the first name?
Oh, well, it's John.
And he's some.
John has been my friend since I was a child.
Ah, and John died how long ago?
Well, whenever my mother had this software to look up Social Security numbers and, you know, she did family tree stuff.
Okay.
I was like, I'll look it up, you know, to see if this is an actual person. Well, he died in 1753, I believe.
In that region, in that house, in whatever was built on that land?
Yeah, in the same region house. I'm actually a second-time caller. I talked to Christopher Lutz, who has the Amityville Horror House.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Yeah. So, I'm the one who, and he was like, email me. I need to talk to you about this, and I don't have an email address, or I don't do a lot of stuff online. But I was like, but this is what I've been dealing with for my entire life.
Have you ever seen John, the spirit, ever lose its temper or anything like that?
Mm-mm.
Never.
No, but a lot of my friends see a lot of different things, like they've seen elderly women come through my house, like, not like elderly women, but elderly women spirits come through my house.
How old do they look?
Like 1800s, 1700s.
That's pretty old.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's kind of a phenomenon that some of my friends want to hang out here, and some of them don't.
You got to take a picture of this bear for us and get it to me somehow.
Well, it, like I said, it's kind of manifested into like this. And is that okay, George? Is that okay to say? Is that it was my like imaginary friend?
Yeah,
turned into
absolutely. I mean, he was your friend you were a kid, and he remains a friend now. I think that's pretty cool, actually. But send me a picture. if you can, Matt, to George at coasttocoastam.com. And we'll get it posted. And kind of reminds me of the friendly Robert the Haunted Doll, where these entities attach themselves to something physical, whatever it might be. And that's what John Zaffis does, by the way. Let's take a few more calls here. And, hey, by the way, Skype is open at George97313. Let's go to Rhonda, first-time caller in Halifax, North Carolina. Good morning,
hi,
Rhonda.
George.
Hi.
First, let me say I love you, and I love your show.
Thank you. It's very nice to say that on Valentine's Day. I was alone tonight, but I was alone.
You helped my husband and I through his illness for years, and he passed away last year, this February. So,
I'm sorry to hear that.
I just want to say God bless and ask you a question, though, because I understand you're coming to my neck of the woods, Greensboro.
I am going to be out that way. That's right. Sometime, I think, in March, first weekend of March.
Is there a phone number there? Because I'm not online. I don't even have a television. I don't watch television. I just listen to talk radio. So is there a phone number where I can get information and tickets?
We will post it on our website. Where if you go all the way down to the bottom of the calendar, it'll say all the way down to the homepage and the calendar. It'll have.
If I'm not online, though, is there a way to get information, you know, like on the phone or something?
I tell you what.
Okay. I think I'm losing you.
No, I'm thinking. I'm thinking how we can.
Oh, okay.
Because I don't have the phone number with me right now. Tom's working on that for me. He's got a whole packet.
Well, I can get somebody to go online for me then. I just really wanted to say, you know, how helpful you are to a lot of insomniacs like myself.
We're all insomniacs, aren't we?
Okay.
All right.
Well, thank you. It was good talking to you. I hope I meet you in person.
Yeah, come on out. We'll have some fun. It's going to be some affiliate stuff we're going to do. A lot of traveling this year, but you got to do it. It's an election year, right? You got to do it. Coming up, 2016, right around the corner. Midterms coming up. Interesting. Fascinating. Who will be the candidates? You know, I do like presidential elections. We don't talk a lot of politics on this show, but I think watching the people position themselves and watching the primary process and stuff, that fascinates me. And I have no idea who the major candidates are going to be this year. It is way up in the air. I think this could be, you know, a surprise coming out of nowhere. Let's go to Mark in Asheville, North Carolina. Mark, welcome to the program. You are on the air with us. Hi, Mark.
Hey, hey, George. Good morning.
Yeah, you too.
Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
Okay. George, I had just a short thing that happened to me dealing with an armed robbery. About 6 years ago, I was out of work for a while and took a job at a local convenience store. And about 2 a.m. in the morning, a guy pulled in at one of the furthest gas pumps from the store, and I had closed the store for like 5 minutes to go back in the cooler and straighten out some things. And when I came to the front door, I saw him down there at the end pump, and so I cracked the sliding doors open so he could come in the store. And right when I did the doors, I heard like an audible voice saying, "Don't do it." And so I went behind the counter and just waited. And at that time, my employer let me carry a sidearm, a Ruger 9mm pistol. And the guy came through the door, and the only thing he said, he walked right up to the counter, like 3 feet from my face, and pulled a pistol out of his jacket and stuck it in my face. And he said, "Give it up," was all he said. And so I ducked down behind the counter like I was getting cash and came back up with my Ruger in a shooting stance. And I popped off one round, and he ran out the door, got in his car, and I put two more into the side of the car when he drove off. The point of the story is the detectives with the Asheville Police Department, it is such a good police department. They are so professional and really just a great police
department. Yeah, they're good people.
anyway, they came, and when they were investigating it, they encouraged me about what I had done. It wasn't like, you're in deep trouble.
Okay, you know? So they did. Yeah, I was going to ask you a couple things with that. One is, you know, hey, let him take the money, let him go. What made you pull the gun? Did you think you were going to get shot, so it didn't matter? You had to defend yourself?
I did, and yeah. Also, George, it made me terribly angry. I thought, you don't have a right to come in here and put a gun in my face, you know? And it was. I hate to say it, but it wasn't anger. There was some anger in it.
All right. When you took that first shot, how did you miss him?
I don't know. The doors were cracked, and the whole front of the store is glass. I guess the doors were open 24 inches, and when he was headed for the door, I shot at him, and I think it went over his shoulder and through the crack in the doors. So nothing in the store got damaged or anything.
Yeah.
The interesting thing is, my employer, after that, it was in the local papers and on the news, and everybody came up and asked me about it and everything.
And did you ever catch the guy?
They called him just shortly, maybe a week after that. They knew who it was because he was a career criminal.
Oh, okay.
And the interesting thing, they told me I could not carry my gun anymore after that.
Oh, really? They
and,
got scared.
Yeah. And so I left the store shortly after that. Yeah. I just thought, if I can't protect myself, you know.
Yep.
Just thought it was so ironic, you know.
Well, I'm glad you're here to tell us the story.
Oh, me too, George. Thanks for taking my call.
Be well. That's, you know, that's one of the benefits of carrying concealed weapons. And you got to be very careful. If you're going to pull it, you got to be very careful. But it sure it gives you that feeling of security. And, you know, and as I was talking to John Lott yesterday, the state of California will be way up in the air now because a court has ruled that you should be able to, conceal and carry in California. Let's go to Eric in Merced, California. Hello, Eric. Welcome to the program.
Hey, George. How's it going?
Good, Eric.
Long-time listener, when I can. My hours of work are so random, I catch you when I can.
Yeah, I understand.
Even since the episode or the day when you caught received a call from a friend to call her, apparently from an old Area 51 worker.
Oh, that was old.
When you guys were bumped off the air.
Yep.
Now, that one had me in trembles, and then since then I've just been all over the radios whenever I can catch you. So
well,
I'm glad that you are doing what you're doing. Much respect to you. Now, what I would like to do is just basically relay a sighting that I had seen a few times in one night with a friend who actually lives down the street from where I live. So we're hanging out one night, just smoking cigarettes, you know, just watching the block as we do normally here, because there's really not much here to do. I don't know if you've ever seen any of the videos online of the like Norway spiral.
Oh yeah, absolutely, very weird.
And it
stuff.
Almost in a nighttime, it looks like a smoke. The smoke is so bright white, it's almost as if it's illuminated. It starts in the center, comes out in the stream, and then starts spiraling, out upon itself.
I don't think it's a rocket, but some people think it was.
Yeah, you know, that's just for it to be positioned in one spot like that. No, not at all. Simplest of answers, no way. Well, me and my buddy were hanging out, and we both noticed something off into the distance. Now, Merced is a very small town in the Central Valley. Still, a lot of it is under development with lots of open space. And where we were looking at, we start to see, at first, what we thought was a jet. Sometimes on clear nights, you see a jet going by, and you can see the normal condensation trails behind it, you know, and then slowly disappear. We see something like that, but the smoke would look a little too much like smoke than, condensation. So what we start to notice is the stream that it's leaving behind, the white stream, is getting wider throughout the atmosphere.
Well, I got to tell you, I don't know what it was. It could have been a jet, but it could have also been something else. Eric, you're going to have to call me next week on Open Lines because we're out of time.
Well, I never knew I had Martians in my garden, and I never knew there were aliens on my roof. I got shadow people, and they're living in my basement. Got a funny feeling, Bigfoot's gonna be here soon. I was so blind before, I was so unaware, but now I swear I'm seeing Sasquatch over there. I can see the light, and I also see a ghost, 'cause I'm listening to Coast to Coast. Well, you never knew that your baby was a hybrid, but as he grew, you began to see the clues. Now you know the signs, 'cause you learned it from George Norrie. Even while you sleep, you got Martians watching you. I turned on my radio in the middle of the night, and I heard things I need to know. And I can see the light, and I also see a ghost, 'cause I'm listening to Coast to Coast. Good morning or good evening, wherever you may be, whichever world you're living. Your voice is always welcome here on my radio. Call in with your space transmitter or your telephone. And I turned on my radio in the middle of the night, and I heard things I need to know. Now I can see the light, and I also see a ghost, 'cause I'm listening to Coast to Coast.
For Dan Galante, Jason King, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonewood, Sean Latasseur, Timothy Banal, Stephanie Smith, Chris Boros, George Knapp, and Art Bell, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.